Luke 19, 28 to 40. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out." Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Psalm 118, reading the first and second verses and 19 to the end. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, 'His love endures forever.' Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Thanks be to God.
I want to thank Pam and Peter for taking their courage in both hands and doing our readings today. Let's just pray for Andrew as he comes to speak. Father, we do ask that you would guide Andrew, fill him with your spirit, inspire him and his words as he speaks. And we pray for ourselves as well, that as we listen, we would hear your voice to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One of my earliest childhood memories, I was probably certainly no older than Oscar sitting at the back there, maybe even a bit younger, is a church one, and it wasn't a nativity, it was actually a Palm Sunday celebration. And I was in the aisle of a traditional small church on the side of the children, and we were all sort of trying to make way for the procession coming up, trying to replicate Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. As you'll probably all know, Palm Sunday is the climax of Jesus' ministry. It really laying down the question, was he the Messiah or not? Also, what sort of Messiah? I don't know if you realize, the gospel writers devote between a quarter and third of their accounts to the 8 days between Palm Sunday, from Palm Sunday to the evening of Easter Sunday. And it really reflects that the center of the early church's teaching was Calvary and not Bethlehem. As we heard in the gospel, the readings last Sunday, On the Saturday evening, Jesus was at, and his disciples were at Bethany having a meal with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, at which Jesus was anointed with perfume by Mary. And Judas Iscariot is rather critical about it. He thought about the waste of the money. And Jesus replies that it's in behalf of waiting for his burial. On Palm Sunday, Jesus really lays down a whole series of clues to settle whether he was the King Messiah or just another ordinary, good teaching rabbi. It's a bit like an Agatha Christie novel, where there are many clues that we all tend to miss, and we're not alone. The people were not alone. In John's Gospel, he tells us that the disciples did not comprehend these clues until after the resurrection, whilst the crowd had their own differing expectations of who or what the Messiah would be. There was significance in Jesus using the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha as a base. Bethany and Bethage were adjacent to the Mount of Olives, and the Jews had expected the Messiah to come from that area. The key image in today's reading is the selection of transport. Now, these days, in this country, we often regard donkeys as lowly, despised, but at this period, donkeys were regarded as noble animals. Saul came to visit David riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey was also a sign of coming in peace, whereas a king riding on a horse meant he was intent on war. The selection of the donkey was also fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah in chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, the crowd is an important element in the day's event. As we know, crowds often followed Jesus in his roving ministry. No doubt, some that day had come up from Galilee. Some had probably been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, as they would also have been up on the road to Jerusalem. No doubt, some were just there because they were sensation seekers, staying close to Jesus, hoping to see another miracle. While others within Jerusalem heard that Jesus was coming and went out to see him, expecting to see a great warlord like David, who would throw out the Romans. And for them, the Passover celebration was the logical time. No doubt, others were simply attracted by the crowd's excitement. The laying of palm beaches, branches, and cloaks in front of Jesus was actually not so unusual. It's a traditional sign of honor given to a royal person or a victor. And it was customary practice for the pilgrims on their way up to the temple for the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of Dedication, and the Feast of Passover to sing a series of psalms, Psalms 113 to 118. And this is known as the Hallel. The words recorded in Mark's Gospel are slightly different. Hosanna, blesses the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blesses the King coming of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And this somewhat annoys the Pharisees. And I say to Jesus, rebuke the disciples. And he says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. A further sign of Jesus' messiahship came a day or two later when Jesus gave the parable of the tenants. It was the master sending servants to the vineyard who get beaten up when the son is finally sent. The servants beat up the son and kill him. On being asked what the parable meant, Jesus quotes the words from verse 22 of Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. All this was fulfilled only a few days later, when the spiritual leaders inspired the crowd to reject and pour scorn on Good Friday. And many of those doing that were probably in the crowd that had welcomed him only a few days earlier. A few weeks later, when Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin, Peter is more pointed, telling that Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. The book of Isaiah has a remarkable passage from part of chapter 52 and 53, describing so accurately many features of how Jesus was treated, pierced for our transgression, oppressed, afflicted, yet did not open his mouth, numbered the transgressors, beside the criminals on the crosses and bearing the sins of many. It's very easy now to feel, look down on those who were there at the time, but the disciples were changed. Before the resurrection, they were a scared bunch. They ran away when the people came out to arrest Jesus. Peter denied him 3 times. Yet within a few years, they're prepared to be flogged, prepared to go to the death to stay and speak the truth. The question being posed on that Palm Sunday is still very relevant today. If you went down Colchester High Street and asked people who do they think Jesus was, let alone is, what might they say? What would some of your friends and relatives might say as well? Because we all have friends and relatives who are not Christians, who don't recognize Jesus as Lord. Some might say he was just a good moral philosopher. Others might say he told interesting stories, memorable stories. Some, they said, he's influenced the world. Others will recognize the expressions of Jesus and the Bible that are heard in our language and seen in our literature. Some may recognize the principles of Jesus' teaching. That's the thread of so much of our law. Many will happily admire the architecture of our ancient buildings. But the reality is, they're simply not joined up the dots, or even been aware of the dots, while some have consciously decided to reject the stone that has become the capstone. Some of those we know who have not accepted Jesus, we'll probably be seeing or speaking to in the next week or so, perhaps over the Easter weekend. What are we going to say to them about Jesus? Are we going to explain the significance of Good Friday and the resurrection? Is my life a gospel for them? Is your life a gospel for them? Is there an attractive difference which invites questions or interest? I don't know about you, but I know I have a considerable way to go to think of concise answers to some of those questions. You know, what should I say to them? How should I say it? What about yourself? How do we explain and share our faith? Because that's what we were called to do. We're here for a purpose. And if we don't do it, if we don't share what we really believe, how will our friends and our relatives come to know Jesus? And won't that make us feel rather guilty? So let's just close with a prayer. Lord, I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit to draw closer to you as we move through Holy Week. I pray that you'll give each one of us the courage to effectively share the good news of Jesus. Amen.